You will turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I encourage you to look in your Bibles as we begin to read and study from God's holy word. Matthew chapter 9. I would like to begin reading with the 35th verse. Read verses 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9. Verses 35 through 38. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be able to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray that thy kingdom would come, and thou would bless us to dwell in thy kingdom this day, that thou would help us as we have come together in thy house, that we would be able to worship thee in the singing of songs, in prayer, and in the study of thy holy word. We thank you for the felt presence of thy spirit already this morning, and we pray now that as we begin to study thy holy word, that thy spirit would be our teacher. We need to be taught from thy word, and we pray that we might have received, that we might have prepared our hearts to receive thy word as seed on fertile ground. We might all have prayed for God to speak to us this day. We might have prayed for God to help us to put all the carnal things away from our hearts and minds, that we might clean the ground, that we might be receptive to hearing the Word of God. We pray that Thou would then help us, that we'd bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We beg, Lord, that you would bless those who have lost loved ones. We know that you're able to comfort them and bless them as you alone are able to do, to give them a peace that passeth all understanding. We ask you to be with them. Pray that you would bless those who are sick, that you as the great physician would touch their bodies, strengthen them and lift them up. Bless the families who are having trouble. We know, Lord, that you're able to bind them back together with thy love and to cause those to be happy homes, be happy husbands and wives and children, to be a family the way your word teaches that a family should be. So help them and help us to know how to help them. Help us all to pray one for another. Help us to think about each other each day. We beg you, Lord, to bless the beginning of this school year. We pray that you would bless all the teachers and the parents and the children and all of them, that they would work hard for the good of your dear children. Bless all the children in this church, Lord, in a special way. Be with them and bless them all to do their best. Bless the parents to work with them every day, and to realize that it's not the school's responsibility to teach our children, it's the parents' responsibility. Help us, Lord, to fulfill our responsibility. Bless us now and pray that you would bless thy word in a very special way this day. Move us and motivate us to be doers of thy word and not hearers only. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. The Word of God says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I want you to remember that statement right there, that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. All through the Word of God, every time Jesus went somewhere and was preaching, the Word of God says that he was preaching about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He's preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. And the kingdom of heaven is not the eternal heaven. The kingdom of heaven is that heaven that God has prepared for his obedient children while they live here in this world. So he says, the scripture says, that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36 says, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, he's actually going to give two different pictures here. He's going to describe this in two different ways. The first is that the people were like sheep that had no shepherd. They were scattered abroad like sheep that had no shepherd. Then he's going to give a second illustration in verse 37. He said, the scripture says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now what are the two pictures there? The first picture is that God's people looked like sheep that were scattered abroad. You picture many, many sheep out there that are just going in all kinds of different directions. Many of the sheep are being killed. Many of them are dying. Many of them are perishing for hunger. Many others are being attacked by wolves and other things. But the need is out there for there to be a shepherd or many shepherds to take care of the sheep. The second illustration he gives is an agricultural illustration. He says that the fields are white and ready to harvest. That's the way he expresses it in another place. Right here he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The harvest, what are you picturing there? When you picture a harvest, what are you thinking about? Tell me the what is it you think about harvesting? Okay, fruit. You could picture many grapevines with grapes on them. You could picture all kinds of fruit trees with fruit on them. What other kind of harvest besides fruit? What else? Corn, wheat, cotton. Especially when you think about the scripture says that the fields are white and ready to harvest. You picture cotton, don't you? You picture corn. You picture wheat. You picture all kinds of things. He says, now look out there, that the laborers are few. We don't have enough laborers. We don't have enough workers. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the need for workers. The Bible talks a lot about work. In fact, the word work is used about work and workers and other forms of the word work is used about 800 times in the Bible. Now that's amazing. It's 800 times that the Bible talks about work. Sometimes it talks about God's work. Sometimes it talks about our works but says that we have evil works. Sometimes the Bible talks about our dead works. The Bible talks about a lot of different things about works. Sometimes the Bible talks about good works that God's people do. So there are all kinds of works. There's a lot of laboring to be done. The word labor is used about 150 times. Laboring and working are almost synonymous. And we need to pray. That's what Jesus says. He says, as I look out here, I see all these people, and all these people are like sheep that don't have a shepherd. All these people, it's like a field that's ready to harvest, and we don't have enough laborers. Now, what happens when you don't have enough laborers? What's going to happen to all those sheep if you don't have enough shepherds to go out there and help take care of the sheep? What's going to happen to the sheep? Okay, they're going to go astray. They're going to die. They're going to be lost. What's going to happen to all that corn? What's going to happen to all that cotton? What's going to happen to all that wheat and barley? What's going to happen to all that fruit if we don't have laborers to get out there and gather it into the storehouse? What's going to happen to all that? It's all going to be lost. Brethren, I'm not talking about being lost eternally. I'm talking about God's people being lost to the kingdom of heaven and fellowship with God while they live here in this world. And you and I are called on by God to be laborers, to get out there and labor. He says, you need to pray that God will send forth. You need to be, first of all, you need to be a laborer. You need to be a worker. What else do you need to do? You need to pray that there would be more laborers and more workers. And I thought about this a lot during this past week as I've tried to study this. And I believe this. I believe that there has never been a time in the entire history of our nation where the fields are as white and as ready for harvest as they are right now. I don't believe there's ever been a time where the sheep are as scattered abroad as they are right now. I don't believe there's ever been a time that there were so few sincere, diligent laborers and under-shepherds as there is right now. We need to pray that God will help us to be working and laboring, and that God will help others to begin to be moved and motivated to work and labor. Pray. You notice verse 38. Matthew 9, verse 38, he says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Do you need to pray that there'll be more laborers? Do you need to labor? Did you know there's probably not a one of us here that's laboring as much as we need to in the Lord's kingdom now I'm talking about? Talking about in his vineyard. That's what we're talking about. Now, I have my vineyard. That is, I have things I like to do, and I have things that I work at, and you have your things that you work at, but we're talking about working in the Lord's vineyard. There need to be laborers in the Lord's vineyard, because right now, the sheep are scattered abroad. There's never been a time when there have been as many children hurting as there are today. Do all of you understand what I'm saying? There's never been a time in our nation when children have been in as much need as they are today. And I would encourage every one of you that have the ability and the power to, first of all, number one, labor with your children. Labor with your grandchildren. We're beginning a new school year, and all these children need help. And you cannot and I cannot expect, and it's wrong to expect other people to raise our children. And it's your responsibility to work with your children and do the best you can with your children. And if you send your children to public schools, you still have the primary responsibility to teach your children. It's your job. It's not their job. Your job. They may help you. They may assist you. But it's your job. You can't just delegate that to someone else and expect them to do a good job. If you'll do everything you can with your children, the teachers can help you. Public school teachers. But now listen carefully. That's just one of 100 different areas of work. Do I need to do some mentoring? Did you know all of us ought to be doing mentoring in the schools? You might say, well, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time either. Let me tell you something, brethren. You and I better start finding time to do some mentoring and helping with children. Right here in this church, there are children that need help. There are children in this church. There's one young man, and I love him with all my heart. Brother Ramon, I love you. You're a precious young man. Any of you ever met his parents? All of you know what an orphan is? There are a lot of children in this church that have parents that are pretty much orphans. They need somebody to spend time with them. There are children all over this. I'm just first starting right here. I'm trying to spread out and get you to understand that in all these schools, all around our community, do you see that the fields are white and ready to harvest? Do you see that there's so many sheep out there that are just going astray? Do you see that there are so many sheep out there that have no one to guide them? They have no one to set parameters around them. They have no one that is instructing them and loving them and caring for them and nurturing them. They have nobody that's guiding them in the right way to go. And they need somebody. And we need to pray that God will send more laborers, workers. You want to be a worker? You know that's what that prodigal son, when he got back to his father's house, you know what he just wanted to do? Just let me be a worker. Let me be a laborer. Let me be a servant. That's all I want to do in my father's house. Just be a worker, a laborer. Let me be a servant in your house. And that ought to be the desire of every one of us. Let me be a servant in your vineyard, Lord. and let me pray for God. Because listen, when you start laboring, let me tell you something, when you get out in those fields and you start laboring, picking that corn and picking that cotton, you're going to realize there's so much you can't do. There's so much out there, so many people you can't reach. And what are you then going to need to do? Pray that the Lord will send more laborers into the vineyard to work and labor. But you need to get out and work and labor. Not just with the children, but the elderly. They need to be labored with. Families need to be labored with. There are families that need encouragement. There are families that need help. They need guidance. Did you know there are so many young adults today that have not had the right kind of training when they were growing up? They don't know how to be good husbands. They don't know how to be good wives. They've never had an example. Many of them have never been to church. They do not know what to do. They're like sheep that are what? They've gone astray. They're scattered about. They're just going in all kinds of directions. They don't know what to do. And it's up to me and you to work and labor. And to pray that God will send more laborers into the vineyard. Work, 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 for the night is coming when no man can work. Did you know I can't work like I used to? I can't physically work like I used to, but I can't work in many ways. I can't work. I can't handle the stress like I used to. I could handle the stress a lot better. I remember when my daddy got old. And he would call me sometimes 6 o'clock in the morning, and he'd be crying, and he'd say, "Son, pray for me." And I'd say, "Daddy, you've faced problems like this all your life. You've had people stand against you all your life. It's never bothered you before. Why does it bother you so much now?" He said, "If you live long enough, you're going to reach a time that you're going to find you can't stand the pressures as good as you could at one time in your life." The older you get, the more you're going to realize you need God's help. I need God's help. But I need your help, and we need each other's help to try to labor with what? With what? Are we trying to save people to eternal heaven, or are we just trying to save them to the kingdom of heaven? Trying to save them to the kingdom of heaven. Brethren, Jesus has already saved them to eternal heaven. We're not talking about sheep dying out there and going to hell when they die. We're talking about sheep that are out there who are perishing. We're talking about sheep. We're talking about children of God that are perishing every day. And they are dying. They're perishing. They're going astray. The fields are ready to harvest. There are so many out there that need to be drawn in to the Father's house. There are so many out there who need and want somebody to love them. Isn't that what you're glad you found here, Sister Wendy, is some love? Love. Love. You know what we need more of in the world today?
Love.
Love. That's right, Sister Nellie. Love. You know, I heard a statistic on the radio this past week. I want you to listen to this. It was a nursing home administrator. And he was talking about how few people ever visit in the nursing homes. And he made this statement. He said, "We have done studies, and across this nation," listen carefully, this was a shocking statistic to me. He said, "Across this nation, 87% of the people in the nursing homes will not have a single visitor this year." Think about that. 87% of the people in the nursing homes have not had one single visitor last year. That is a shame and disgrace on the church of Jesus Christ. It is also a shame and a disgrace on the families that have neglected them. But I'm talking, brethren, about what you and I need to do. There's so many out there that need love. They need care. They need attention. And we must work. Is it work to get out there and go see them? Is it laboring to get out there and go work with them? Are they like sheep scattered abroad? I'll tell you, God's been so good to us, He's got them all huddled up in one little place. You know, you find little pockets of sheep all huddled up. Here's Baptist Village. Well, they're just all huddled up there. Got a whole bunch of them right there. Got a whole bunch of them at Ware Manor Nursing Home. Got a whole bunch of them at Riverside Nursing Home. Got a whole bunch of them at Blackshire Nursing Home. They're all bunched up. Got a whole bunch of them at Nahanna Nursing Home. All of them are bunched up. And what a privilege it is. Now, it's not all of them, but that's a bunch of them that we can go go see and visit. And just boom, 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 boom. Love them. Love them. That's what they're starving for. They've got natural food, but they need somebody to love them. You know what will happen when you love them? You know what will happen? You know what they'll feel? You know what they'll feel when you start loving them? Tell me what they'll feel. What's this passage saying that Jesus was preaching about? The what? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. You know what they'll feel when you go visit them? You know what they'll feel when you go visit them? They'll feel, Jesus loves me. They'll feel, Jesus loves me. This I know because He sent this brother, this sister, He sent somebody to come visit with me. He sent these little children. Every one of you that has children, if you don't take those children to the nursing home, you're burying the gift that God's given you. They would rather see your children than to see me or any other adult here. And I'm not neglecting the adults. I'm not saying the adults shouldn't go. But I'm saying God's given you your children if you have children. And you better take those children to visit those old people. Sister Nellie, would you rather see me or the children come see you? Sister Nellie. That's right. That's exactly right. The children. The children. They want the children. They love the children. They appreciate anybody who will come. Or they'll grab anybody. They'll love anybody. But the kids mean more to you. I'm telling you, there's a witness right there. The children. If you don't take your children every week to visit in the nursing home, you're missing the mark. Your children can be such a blessing. Your children can bless other people to feel, God loves me. You know, Brother Rich and I went to see one lady week before last, and I knelt down beside her bed. She hasn't been out of bed in a long time. And I said, have you had any blessings today? Oh, yes, yes. I said, well, tell me about some of the blessings the Lord has given you today. She said, well, you being here is a blessing. She said, that's the blessing I've had today. Now, you think about that. Think about that. Think about what a blessing you can be to other people. We sing that song, make me a blessing. Lord, make me a blessing. Well, all these sheep are out there. They're everywhere. They're all around us. If you go to work, you'll find sheep there that are lost. If you go out in your neighborhood, you'll find sheep that are lost. If you go to the schools, you're going to find sheep that are lost. If you go to the nursing homes, you're going to find sheep that are lost. If you go to church, you're going to find sheep that are lost. If you go out to eat, you're going to find some waitresses that are lost. You're going to find employees wherever you go that are lost, and they need somebody to love them a little bit. And if we're not doing that, we're not doing the work that God's given for us to do. The Word of God says that faith without what? Works is what? Dead. Don't tell me how you love Jesus. Won't do any good. Faith without works is dead. Don't tell me how much you love people if you're not out there working with people, if you're not laboring with people. Because faith without works is dead. The Word of God says that we're to provoke. You know what I'm trying to do to you this morning? The Word of God says, provoke one another unto love and good what? Works. Provoke one another unto love and good works. Good works. The Bible says, not only am I to provoke you to good works, but the Bible says I am to maintain good works in my life. You hear what that word maintain means? What's it mean to maintain a car? What's it mean to maintain it? Brother Richard, do y'all have to maintain your trucks? What do you do to maintain them?
Take care of them. Look at them.
Check them. Work them. Look at them. Examine them. Maintain good works means that you keep examining yourself. Oh, sometimes people say, I'll say, tell me about some good works that you're doing. And this isn't to get glory for you, it's to remind you that you need to do things. And sometimes I'll say, tell me something good you've done to help people. And they say, well, let me tell you, Brother Billy. About 3 weeks ago, I went to the nursing home and I had such a good time. You know, I already mentioned that when you go to the nursing home, you help them enter the what? Kingdom of heaven. But guess who else enters the kingdom of heaven when you go visit at the nursing home? Guess who else? You enter the kingdom of heaven. You know who's there? Guess who's there? The great shepherd is there. The great shepherd will just wrap his arms round about you and those other sheep in the nursing home, and he'll draw you up close to him, and you'll feel the presence of the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, and the sheep can be drawn closer together. We'll just get out and, what's the one word? Work. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Thank you, Sister Bessie. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Did you know that every time somebody does a good work for me, you know who I thank? Guess who I thank? I try to thank them, but guess who else I thank? Thank God. Do you know that God gets the glory when you do good works? You go visit, and you know what those people do? They thank you for coming, but they thank God, and glory goes to God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need more works, brethren. We need to be better workers in God's kingdom. And being a good worker on your job is part of being a good worker in God's kingdom. Everybody understand that? Did you know the best employees ought to be Christians? In fact, I'll say the best employees are Christians. Now, I mean Christian the way I define it, the way I think God's Word defines it. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. A Christian is going to be a hard worker. A Christian is going to be somebody that does what they do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. They're going to work hard. They're going to labor hard. They're going to produce much. A good Christian's a hard worker. If you're not a hard worker, you're not a Christian, because Jesus was a hard worker, wasn't he? Did he work and labor? What about the whole church? Are churches supposed to work? Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Please look in your Bibles. Look in your Bibles, please, at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. You know, in Revelation chapters 2, chapters 2 and 3. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the word work or works is used. He's writing to seven churches. Guess what the one word is he uses more than anything else to these seven churches of Asia? There's one word. Guess what it is? Work, works, works, works. Now, you know what some people think? Some people he was think that he's trying to get the churches to work so they can what? What do some people believe? You work so you can what? What do they think? So you go to heaven when you die. That's not what God's Word teaches. The Word of God declares very plainly that our eternal salvation is not of our works. It's not by our works. It's not according to our works. We don't get to eternal heaven by our works, and we don't get any rewards in the eternal heaven because of our works. But we're rewarded in the kingdom of heaven because of our works. And we enter the kingdom of heaven because of our works. And we have that feeling of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost because of our works. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. It's works, it's laboring, it's working that gets us into the kingdom of heaven. Work. Work, for the night is coming, Jesus said, when no man can work. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus speaks to the seven churches in Asia. And you know what one thing he says to every one of them? He says, I know thy works. I know thy works. Now, was every one of the seven churches of Asia doing some work? But you know what he said about a lot of them's work? He said they were dead works. They were dead works. They were works that were of no value whatsoever. Well, what is it that would make my works of no value? What is it that would make my works useless as far as my service to God goes? Well, if I'm not doing it to the honor and glory of God, my works are in vain. If what I'm doing is for self-glory and self-exaltation, my works are in vain. They're vain works. But if I'm doing it to the honor and glory of God and for the good of His people, that's the kind of works that God is pleased with and will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been a hard worker. You know, when I die, my daddy told me, he said, don't you be lazy. He said, if you're going to be lazy, you change your last name. Now, working is important. Did you know that? And any of you parents, let me say one other thing. Any adult that doesn't work should not eat. And any parents that don't train their children to work, you are doing your children a disservice. That's child neglect when you don't train your children to work. Every child ought to be working. I'm not talking about that you have to be out there working on a job at 6 years old, but you need to be working around the house at 6 years old. Every child ought to have responsibilities, working. You get up 12, 13, 14 years old, Marty, how old were you when you started cutting grass, cutting yards?
13.
A business. He had a business by the time he was 14 years old. Got out and worked, cut grass. Now, he didn't always want to work, but he had somebody that kind of motivated him. Taught him, you got to work. And sometimes he'd look at the weather report and say, rain. And he'd wake up and say, Daddy, the weather report is rain for today. Do I have to go to work? Yeah, you get out and work. Work anyway. Rain won't hurt you. It'll cool you off when you're out there working. Work. Has it hurt you, Marty? Has work hurt you? You know, I thank God that my daddy and that my granddaddies, I thank God they were hard workers. Now, everybody wasn't raised. Listen carefully. Everybody wasn't raised in a home where I thank God my daddy made me work. And I don't believe anybody here who had daddies that made them work, I don't think there's anybody here that would say, I wish I'd had a daddy that let me be lazy. Brother Dennis, will you wish your daddy let you be lazy? Why not? Because you'd be a lazy bum today if it wasn't for your daddy and mama making you work. We set patterns in our lives. We need to set patterns in our church life. Work. Work in the church. I would ask all of you, what are you working and laboring to do in the church? There's so much that needs to be done, but what are you doing to work and labor in the church? It's important. Listen to Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. He says, I know, this is Jesus speaking to the angel of the church at Ephesus. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, the Word of God says, I know thy works and thy labor. Works and labor. Now that's really double time, isn't it? I know thy works and labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. He talks about how they have done good works, but then come down to verse 4, he says, is he commending them to begin with? He's saying, you've done some good things. And I will say that to every one of you. You've done some good things, okay? But what, Brother Neil?
I said interjection.
Okay, interjection, all right. Nevertheless, he says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Can you work without doing it because you love Jesus? Can you work without doing it for the right purpose? Now, some people will just sit down and say, well, I'm not doing it for the right purpose. I'll quit. Some people that visit, they'll say, well, I'm not doing it for the right purpose. I'm doing it because I feel like I have to do it, so I'll just quit. No, that's not the answer. Don't quit. Do it for the right purpose. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the... What's the next two words there? Do the what? Do the first works. Now, can you be doing a lot of works without doing the first works? What do you think the first works are? What do you think the first works are? Think. Just think. Think about that word first. First. First.
Visit with the Father.
Okay. What's the first and great commandment? Okay. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's the second? Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Get busy doing the first works. Love who?
God.
Love God. Love your neighbor. Love your family. And guess what will follow if you're full of love? What will follow? If if I love you, Brother Carnell, what am I going to do? I'm going to come see you, aren't I? If I love you. If I love you. Do all of us need to work more, labor more? Do you see why there are so many sheep out there that are just scattered abroad, so many that are perishing every day? You know why they're perishing? It's because we've neglected our first works, and we've neglected our works and our labors. And all through this chapter, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, he keeps talking about, now you've neglected your works. He's talking to the churches now. He says, you've neglected your works. So it's time to get up, get busy, start back to work. Some of you used to be very, very faithful in visiting in the nursing home. Some of you families used to be very, very faithful in going to the nursing home regularly. Start over. Get back to your first love. Love God. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know what God's going to do? He's going to open your eyes. You're going to look out there and you're going to see, my goodness gracious, look at all those sheep that are wandering about that need a shepherd. And they need somebody to labor with them. Look at all those fields that are white, ready to harvest. You know, white-headed people, now this thought just came to my mind thinking about the words of Jesus. All those fields that are white, ready to harvest. You know what I pictured just now? I pictured God fixing to do what with them? He's fixing to do what with them? He's fixing to take them home. He's fixing to take them home. I better get out there and visit with them while I can, because they're not going to be here long. God's called you to be a worker and a laborer. We can be, is it ants or bees that have workers? I know ants do, don't they? Both of them. They've got workers. Workers. Guess what the church has? The true church of Jesus Christ will have what? Workers. Laborers. May God help us to work. And when you get out there and start working, you know what you're going to feel like? Oh, there's too much. I can't do it. I can't handle all these problems. And then what do you need to do besides you working? Pray to the Lord of the vineyard that He'll send forth more laborers. And that's my prayer and should be your prayer this day, that God will help me to work and that God will help us to pray for others that God would send to work in His vineyard is my prayer for Christ's sake.